Would you grab your swords, please, and go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Hallelujah. Matthew 18. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Good. Keep your finger there and go to Genesis. Genesis something. Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. It's just for you. Genesis 2. In verse 1, it says, the heavens and the earth were what? And all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now, it's very prophetic. God not only speaks in present, but he speaks in past and in future. The word tells us that in various ways God spoke. He spoke through prophets. He spoke in various ways and in various through various people. He speaks through the signs in the heavens right now. He speaks through all kinds of things. He speaks through your circumstances. When we're not listening, he really speaks through our circumstances. Amen. But in this, we know that Jesus said it, that he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. In other words, and in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created. So we know that the first thing God created was time. Amen. So in this, there is a time sequence that he has established. Now, from the moment that he restored the earth, there was a time sequence implemented. And that time sequence is 7,000 years. 7,000 years. You know, we can dance all around all kinds of stuff, but he had set a time sequence that he would establish this age. And in this age of this time, it would be 7,000 years. The word says that one day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. And he says that he rested on the seventh day. Why? Because he completed everything that he needed to do. Now, we don't know exactly how long it took for all creation to be manifested. But we know that from the moment that God had to step in and restore the earth because of the fall with Lucifer, and the earth became chaotic and useless. So you go, when you go from Genesis 1 to Genesis 2, there's a time sequence there that is unknown. Because the word to bring, or the word that says, let there be, when God said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be the first day. And so that word, let there be, means to restore, does not mean to create. So, and what we read from the book of Genesis in the beginning here, between Genesis 1 and 2, Genesis verse 2 starts the sequence that God was going to begin a 7,000-year run and then end things. And in that, he was going to end the earth, its atmosphere, the heavens, and everything would become new again. Is everybody all right? So we know that we are close, aren't we? We know that we've got to still go through a period of the last 7 years of tribulation, and then we will enter in a 1,000-year run where we will reign on the earth, and then after that 1,000 years, everything's going to cook. Real simple. Amen? Amen? Praise God. In Matthew 18 and verse 21, would you read it with me? 18:21. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. I want you to understand that 7, and we've talked about 7 already in the teaching, but 7 is a prophetic number. God, it means complete. In the area, it's associated with complete. It also, it's associated with something that's going to begin that must be completed. That's why it says 7,000 years is one of the Lord's prophetic numbers to start something, complete something. Number 7, there's also areas where judgment, buildings, things to that degree, he established in a 7-year period of time, 70 years or 7 weeks, whatever it may be. And Jesus said, so here Peter comes to him and says, "Lord, what about this forgiveness? How many times do I need to forgive him?" Up to 7 times. Why? Because even Peter understood something about 7 being complete. And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. So this was a prophetic word God was sharing with him. He was expressing something that would have to do with 70 and something that have to do with 7 times 70. A prophetic word from the Lord. In other words, there would be a sin in a period of time. Why? Because he said you'd have to forgive how many times? 70 times 7. So he was setting a sequence up of time period. And then he says to him, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." So he begins to go right into prophetic expressing in the parallel of kingdom. And he says, "And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made." In verse 26, "Then the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt," just like you and I are forgiven sin. Verse 28. "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe me.'" Oh, hallelujah. Dummy. "So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all,'" just like what he did. Amen? The problem was, is in verse 30, hallelujah, he said what? He would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that what he had done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, you bonehead from hell. I forgave all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my Father in heaven, my heavenly Father, also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." In other words, this was a prophetic time period where forgiveness was required. Does everybody get it? It is required. Why? Because if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. This was known as the period of grace, the age of grace that would be released into this realm through Jesus Christ. Is everybody all right? So we see here 70 times 7. It's a prophetic beginning and end. Go to Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25. Is everybody there? Would you all read it with me, please? Starting at verse 1. "The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jeroboam, the son of Joshua, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. And the Lord has sent you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, 'Repent now for every one of his evil way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not harm you. Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I'll take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Because of their what? Disobedience, not hearing. Then it will come to pass when the 70 years are completed. Now, I want you to look at this. So the Lord is going to send Israel into captivity under Babylon for 70 years. He called Nebuchadnezzar his servant because all kings were God's servant, regardless whether they were wicked or not. Somebody get it? Because God can use anyone. He's going to use Satan in tribulation to bring his judgment. So, Babylon is also Iraq. That's where Iraq is. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but ISIS just took over Iraq. They just took over the capital of Iraq and the military bases and took all of their tanks and weaponry. Why? Because in the time we're in now, Babylon must be rebuilt. Hallelujah. And then now the Lord says, okay, so you guys are going into captivity. In verse 12, then the Lord says, then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed that I will punish the king of Babylon. And that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. So the Lord says, then after the 70 years, I'm going to pull you out of it and I'm going to destroy that place. Now go to Jeremiah 29. So we see 7 years were associated with a judgment, a beginning and end of completion. Amen. In Jeremiah 29, in verse 10, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. So the Lord is going to rescue them after judgment. You know, he says he chastens those he loves, doesn't he? Amen. The problem is people run when God's chastening them. Now look at verse 11. In verse 10 he says, I'm going to visit you after I take you out of Babylon, because I forgive you. And I'm going to cause you to return to me. In verse 11, he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you a what? A future and a what? And a hope. This is what he says towards me and you. He said, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search me with all of your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from all of your captivity. You know, we were all in captivity at one time, weren't we? And I will gather you from all nations. That's also associated with ethnic groups. Whether you're Irish, Italian, whatever. And from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David, concerning all the people who dwell in this city, and concerning your brethren who have not gone out with you into captivity. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send on them a sword of famine and pestilence and make them like rotten figs that they cannot eat. They are so bad. Those are the ones that refused to go into captivity. They refused and ran from the chastening of the Lord. They thought that they could escape it. But afterwards, God made their lives even worse. So again, this was a 70-year span to where there was destruction, chastening, and then restoration. Is everybody okay? In the book of Daniel, chapter 9. And starting at verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, you can read it with me. In the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. And that's what we just read. So Daniel is reading the book written by Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by supplication, by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. So Daniel found the book of Jeremiah. Daniel was in captivity at this time, and he began to seek the Lord. Why? Because 70 years had come to pass. And in verse 20, so Daniel set himself to pray. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in the prayer, the man Gabriel, did not say angel. See, so many people think that angels always look like angels. The man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to what? Fly. He moved very quickly. When something moves quickly, we have a tendency to say they're flying. Being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come for to give you what? Skill, ability to what? Understand. I've come to give you the ability to understand. Verse 23. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out. And I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks. Hello? Another arena of beginning and a completion of judgment, of preparation. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish transgression. That is sin, associated with sin. It's acting sin. To make an end of sins. To make reconciliation for iniquity. To bring in everlasting righteousness. So he was going to bring judgment, to bring correction, so righteousness would be come forth. To seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, who would be Jesus Christ. Now therefore understand. So he gives them a preface in the beginning. In other words, a simple overview. And then he begins to explain it a little bit more. Now therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 70 weeks and seven weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. So he is expressing that there will be a time period when Jerusalem would be destroyed and it'd have to be rebuilt again. And Jerusalem was actually destroyed in 70 AD. Okay. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince, who is the prince of power of darkness, who is to come, will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, in other words, an attack of the enemy, until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, he's also very possibly speaking about another war that will occur, that will break out in Israel. Because he says that the powers of darkness will come and cause this war. And he says, and during this war, in verse 27, he said, then he, meaning the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 7 years. In this 7 years, there will be a covenant established, which in this 7 years will be known as the seven-year tribulation. But in the middle of the week, the 7 years, 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. In other words, what he's going to do is he's going to step in the temple, and he's going to proclaim himself as God. And this will be the Antichrist. He will break the covenant after 3.5 years. Is everybody okay? Again, we see this whole arena of 70 weeks again. 7 weeks. Amen? 67 weeks is the term of beginning and ending completion. But here it says this 7 weeks is actually 7 years of tribulation. And if you go to Exodus chapter 1, now, I want to share something, and I'm going to throw this out that you may catch this. If you look deeper in this arena, you'll see that when the 7 weeks are thrown out, it's an area of completion. It's a completion of something, because the 7 weeks is the 7 years of tribulation. This is also a representation of the 70th generation. And we'll go more into that, because we are the 70th generation. In Exodus chapter 1. So if you want to know what the teaching is, it's called 70th generation. 70th generation. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 1, something else here. It says in verse 5, look at this. All those who were descendants of Jacob, Jacob meaning Israel, were what? 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. So I want you to see that again, there was a representation prophetically. Here we are, 70. From what? Jacob, meaning something will occur with the 70th generation. In Matthew 24, which we have read multiple times, in verse 32. Is everybody there? Can we read this together? What does it say? Now learn this parable from the fig tree. Prophetically, the fig tree is known as Israel. I want to say that again. The fig tree is known as Israel. So he's saying, now learn this parable from the fig tree. It says, when its branches have already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Now, I want you to understand something, that Israel is a desert. Amen? I mean, there's desert all around. But I can tell you today, it's no longer desert, amen, even though there's desert. But as the number one producing produce, vegetables, and so forth in the world, because they've established their own irrigation. Because one of the things is because of the underwater arenas that they have. Israel is self-contained. They will actually at some point become independent. They will no longer import oil. All of these things, they will stop. They will be so independent that other nations will want to destroy them. And we are getting there now. They have their own oil resource. In fact, they have the salt. And they have found to be the most productive in gas. They have found all of these gas places, these gas pockets and wells and all kinds. They are unlimited resources. You know, when we were in Israel and we were going through certain areas, I mean, all of a sudden you'd see desert. Then you'd see a whole fields of watermelon. And you'd see fields of bananas. You'd see all kinds of pineapple. You'd see all kinds. I mean, and then you'd go desert again. And it's like, what? And then you'd find an iced coffee place, which was cool. And there'd be a building that's selling sandals and iced coffee. Praise God. And then you'd hit another place. And there was cattle, and it was just phenomenal. And you'd see the change of deserts, and then produce, vegetables, trees. It's like, whoa. And it was prophetic, because it said that God would turn a desert place into wells of water. And he did. Why? Because we're that generation of all things that are going on prophetically. Amen? So he says, when you see Israel, this fig tree, and its branches are blossoming and so forth, he says in verse 33, you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Surely I say to you, this generation by no means pass away till all these things take place. Now, what would have to happen is Israel would have to become a nation. So Israel was a nation in 1948. Hello. He said, this generation, all of these things, tribulation, because if you read in the beginning of Matthew 24, it talks about the beginning of sorrows. It begins, talks about tribulation and great tribulation and about how things are going to occur in the world and so forth. He said, these things will occur, the generation, when Israel becomes a nation. Does everybody get it? Israel became a nation in 1948. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. It says, but as of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying, eating, drinking, doing drugs, all kinds of stuff. Marrying, same-sex marriage. Given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I want you to understand something, that he's talking about the days of Noah, and if we'll go to Genesis 6, we'll explain it a little bit more, and we should know this by now. Days of Noah, Genesis 6 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. Is everybody there? It's the first book in the Bible, just in case. Hallelujah. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them. In other words, true DNA. The sons of God, which were known as angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were what? There were what? Giants. Giants. On the earth in those days, and afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old men and renown. Again, these giants. So what occurred is that the angels from Satan's kingdom, fallen angels, around 200 of them, put on flesh. Of course, they didn't have blood. They were pure spirit, still with flesh. They came into this realm. They took women. So as fathers with no blood but spirit, hello? Because you can't kill a spirit, can you? No. So they produced offsprings called Nephilims. And in these Nephilims, which were now unredeemable because there was no blood. You redeem blood, don't you? Amen. But because of the Father coming down, and we talked about this already, they produced giants and all kinds of weird looking, and they went into animals. They were perverse. They were crazy, man. And that was a part of the myth of Zeus, and they wanted to be gods and goddesses and so forth. So we see here, these are the days of Noah. And we see that this is coming back again, because the Lord said it will be as in the days of Noah. So we know that Nephilims have to come back in a certain way. In fact, they're probably among us already. In fact, the genetic gene has been passed down through. That's why God destroyed them with the flood. Amen. But it was still a period of time that they were here. Now, I want to go and read you something from the book of Enoch. Because Enoch was here on the earth. In fact, he had found favor with God, and God had taken him. But he wrote some powerful stuff because he was here. He saw the Nephilim. Amen? And in Enoch chapter 10, it says, "And then spoke the Most High, the Great and Holy One, and he said, sent Arel, the son of Lamech, saying, tell him in my name, hide yourself, and reveal to him the end of what is coming, for the earth and everything will be destroyed." Now he's speaking about the flood. "And the deluge is about to come upon all the earth, and all that is in it will be destroyed. And now instruct him in order that he may flee, and his seed will be preserved for all generations. And secondly, the Lord said to Raphael, bind Azazel hand and foot and throw him into darkness. And he made a hole in the desert, which was in the Dua, and cast him there. He threw on top of him rugged and sharp rocks, which we might call the abyss. And he covered his face in order that he may not see light, and in order that he may be sent into the fire on the great day of judgment, and give life to the earth which the angels have corrupted." He's talking about the angels that corrupted that were fallen. "And he will proclaim life for the earth, that he is giving life to her, and all the children of the people will not perish through all secrets of the angels, which they taught their sons." And I want you to understand that when the angels put on flesh and came in here, they taught people self-sustaining. In other words, they taught them how to make weapons. They taught them how to dress themselves, makeup, all kinds of. They showed them how to use fire. They showed them all kinds of things, technology. Why? Because they knew physics. They knew everything. These angels came in. So, and it says, "And the whole earth has been corrupted by Azazel, teaching of his own actions, and write upon him all the sins. And to Gabriel the Lord said, proceed against the bastards and the reprobates, and against the children of adultery." These were the Nephilims, their offsprings. He said, "Proceed against them and destroy the children of adultery, and expel the children of the watchers," which were the fallen angels, "among from the people, and send them against one another, so that they may be destroyed in a fight." In other words, he was going to cause them to even battle against each other, because actually they began to kill each other. Now there was a fight for land, there was a fight. Now these giants were, because you got to remember that they were like gods full of pride. So they were taking territories, but they were battling one another. They proclaimed themselves as kings and gods. "And send them against one another so that they may be destroyed in the fight. For length of days have they not. They will beg you everything," because they were going to go to Enoch and beg for mercy, "for their fathers on behalf of themselves, because they hope to live in an eternal life, but they are not redeemable. They hope that each one of them will live a period of 500 years. And to Michael, God said, make known to Zemaraz and the others who are with them, who fornicated," these are some of the names of the angels, "who fornicated with women, that they will die together with them in all their defilement. And when they and all their children have battled with each other, and when they have seen the destruction of their beloved ones," see, God was holding the angels. He wasn't allowing them to be killed at all, so that they would see their offsprings destroyed. That was a part of their punishment. And when they have seen the destruction of their beloveds or their offsprings, bind them for 70 generations under the earth, the rocks of the ground, until the day of their judgment and of their consummation. 70 generations. So the moment when God said, okay, after the flood, what did he do? He bound them. He took the angels and he bound them in what we call Hades or Tartarus, the abyss, however you want to say it, for 70 generations. And then he will take them out and bring judgment on them. Does everybody understand that? 70 generations. Now, what is a generation? That's what I want to go to right now. Go to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. In verse 10, what does it say? The days of our lives are what? 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So we get an understanding here that God has set a generation. Now, a generation before the flood would be totally different, because they lived to be quite old. Some of them 600, 300, 900. You know? I mean, Enoch was 365 years old when he was taken. So in this, he set a time sequence of a generation now to be 70 years. Okay, so I want to go back a second. Remember we read about the fig tree, right? And what did the Lord say? He said, there'd be as the days of Noah, and this generation will not pass away. That these events, judgments, tribulation, would be manifested. And Israel had to become a nation in 1948. Well, if you take 1948 and you add a generation to it, that is 70 years. You know what the date of that is? 2018. Hello? So we are the 70th generation. I just want you to know. That's what this is about. It's important to know we are the 70th generation. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 11. Now we know that no one really knows the day or time, amen? But we do know seasons. We do know prophetically, amen? In Hebrews 11. You know, you think about seven again being the prophetic number. Remember the Lord established seven feasts, amen? And of course, he's the only one that can fulfill them. And the next feast will be the removal of the body of Christ in the Feast of Trumpets, which will occur in tribulation. Then you have the Feast of Atonement, which will be Armageddon. And then you have the Feast of Tabernacle, which God will set up for 1,000 years. So all of these prophetic events, I mean, if he already fulfilled the first four feasts, he's going to fulfill the next three. In Hebrews 11, is everybody there? Hallelujah. In verse 5, would you read it with me? It says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, He had this testimony that he what? He pleased God. He pleased God. Again, Enoch was 365 years old when he was taken. He pleased God. Go to Jude. It's the first book before Revelation. Jude, verse 14. You think that it's a coincidence that he was seventh from Adam? Hello? And verse 14, would you read it with me? Now Enoch, the what? Seventh from Adam. Hello? Prophesied about these men also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So I want you to see that Enoch was acknowledged and recognized, not only in Hebrews, but in Jude. And there is a book of Enoch. And that's what I was just reading you from. So he prophesied about these things and what he was. Where did he get this information from? The book of Enoch. Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, let's speak it. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient of parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sounds like during the times of Noah. Having a form of godliness, hello, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So here he was saying, look at it, in the last days, things are going to get worse. Aren't they getting worse out there? Amen? Why? Because I truly believe that we are the 70th generation. Now, I want to go back to the book of Jude for a second. In verse 16. Because remember, Enoch was prophesying about us coming back. And he said, these are what? Grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, look at, not having the Spirit. Not having the Spirit. You know, I'm not going to get too weird. But you know, even the Lord said that you don't know who you're going to be entertaining. Strangers. You don't know. You know, there are, remember, the gene came through. through Ham, who married a Nephilim, a hybrid. And it's been going on ever since. Of course, now you have abductions, which people are freaked out about aliens, which are not aliens, they're just fallen angels with technology that are producing their own hybrids. They have technology to do that. Amen. So you don't know. You know them by the fruit. Amen. In James chapter 5. So we see that perilous times are here now. And we are the 70th generation, and I truly believe that. In James chapter 5. In verse 1, would you read it with me? He says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." And Revelation 9. And remember where we read in Enoch that God was going to send these angels into the lower parts. And he said that he would bring judgment on them in the 70th generation. In verse 1, read it with me. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of all the smoke, locusts came up on the earth, and to them was given power as scorpions on the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads." In other words, the eternal seal, the true DNA. Does everybody understand that? This is eternal DNA now. Because only those with the eternal DNA that are sealed by God can go through the eternal port. Now, I truly believe that what's being released from this pit are the fallen angels. "And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will want to die. And they will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns, something like gold, and their faces like faces of men." Now, you got to remember something if you begin to think about these fallen angels. What were they like? They proclaimed themselves to be gods. That's why they have crowns now. Does everybody see this? "Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek He has the name of Apollyon. Does everybody see that? And he was a fallen angel. Amen. Now, go to the book of Joel, chapter 2. So this has to occur. Why? Because it's the 70th generation. Amen. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. Verse 2. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. Wow. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of what? Horses. Like swift steeds, so they run. With a noise like chariots, over the mountaintops they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble. Like a strong people set in battle array. Before them, the people wroth and pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb in the houses. They enter the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble, and the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, and his camp is very great. For strong is one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? And I want to close at 2 Peter 3. So we see here that these are what was released from the bottomless pit. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Now, when you think about it, 70 generations. Okay, so a generation is 70 years. 70 times 70 is 4,900, right? Remember the time sequence that God has set is 7,000 years. Well, you figure from the flood on, is what, 1,500 years or something to that degree, 1,600 years. So when you think about all of that, whoa, we're falling right into it. Now, nobody knows exactly the time sequence of the day of the flood. Everybody tries to calculate what's what. But I don't think anybody knows exactly perfectly the time sequence, because I don't think we're supposed to. But we know the seasons. We know prophetically the things that are going on. And the Lord wants us to be prepared. Be ready in season and out. We don't know exactly what is going to happen, but we can be assured something will. Amen. We know that the final blood moon will be September 28th this year. Things are falling into place. 2 Peter chapter 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Start at verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be what? Mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, many people are still saying, oh, I've been hearing this for years. I've heard this so many times. They're the ones that are going to get caught. For this, they willfully forget that the word of God, the heavens were old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. It's representation of the flood. By which the word that then existed perished, being flooded with water. The world then existed, perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for what? Fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, I do not want you to forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things must be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in a holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. And that will be the end of the 1,000 years. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to him be all glory both now and forever and ever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Be blessed.